Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete, while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. On Thursday at AT&T Park in San Francisco, the Giants are opening up a four-game series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. And we go into the Giants clubhouse to talk to Austin Slater and Evan Longoria of the Giants. Plus, we're going to hear from the voice of the Giants, John Miller, and a little bit from manager Bruce Bochy. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. We'll start today's podcast by talking to third baseman Evan Longoria. Evan, it seems like you've been swinging the bat pretty well since you came back from the injury. How do you feel about the rhythm that you have up there right now? And, you know, what would you like to see go better for you right now?
I feel okay. You know, we just need to win. We need to win some games. So, you know, personal success doesn't really matter all that much. You know, right at this point of the season, it's more about when you're chasing the teams ahead of you, you know, you got to get wins.
It's got to be frustrating. I mean, how frustrating is it when you guys get the great pitching performances that you got last couple of times, and you had the Astros there on the ropes, but you weren't able to win? And, you know, some people might point to late inning relief, but you guys just didn't score enough runs.
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination effort. You know, we obviously have to push more runs across the board when we can, and, you know, in turn, hopefully be able to hold those late inning leads. And our bullpen's been pretty good all year, so there's nothing we can say about that. I mean, obviously you'd love to score 8 or 9 runs and make it easy for them, but everybody definitely has to pull their own weight.
You know, you've been around for a while. It just seems like every team that you face nowadays has a guy who's throwing 95 miles an hour plus. You know, how much different is it for a hitter, you think, these days to when you first broke in? Just knowing that, you know, especially when the bullpen gets active, that there's going to be a guy who's going to be throwing mid to upper 90s.
Yeah, I mean, the back end of the bullpens are all good nowadays. There was some of that, you know, early on when I broke in, but the bullpens are definitely deeper now. And it definitely makes it tougher when you're behind late. You're facing some pretty live arms, and so obviously the goal is to score early and you know, try to chase the starter out and get deeper into the bullpen as opposed to, you know, having to face their eighth and ninth inning guys.
Does it make it that much more important to get ahead in the count? I mean, I know it's always important to get ahead in the count, but when you have a situation, a guy who throws hard, if you can get ahead and you know that he's got to come in with something, he's not going to be, you know, really hitting the corners, but no matter what the velocity is, he's got to come in to your zone.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, you know, I think pitchers nowadays are more inclined to pitch for the strikeout. You know, the count, I don't know that, obviously they want to throw strikes, they don't want to walk guys, but I think nowadays you definitely see more, you know, 2-0, 2-1, 3-1 off-speed stuff. And it's a combination of, you know, just what the metrics say, I think, and also guys being able to command that, you know, in a 2-0, 3-1 situation. And that's what makes it tough.
You guys have a lot of players who have versatility on this team defensively. Right now, you know, tonight Austin Slater's playing first base and he's sort of learning the position. But how does that affect you as an infielder when you have some different guys around the infield? Does it take much time to sort of get used to that and know, you know, where a guy likes the ball or how that all works?
I mean, you really just have to play your own game. You know, you can't really worry about that stuff. I mean, we've had guys all over the infield. You know, Hanson's been at second. He's been at short. You know, Slater's been on the infield and in the outfield. And it's nice to have that versatility. So there's really nothing to think about other than, you know, just making the plays like you normally would. And just, I mean, trying to help those guys as much as you can in terms of positioning and stuff, the guys that haven't been out there all that much.
I don't know how often you saw Brandon Crawford play, really, when you were in Tampa. I mean, it's kind of late at night. You're not really going to see many of his games. So how much of an appreciation do you have for the way he plays the game defensively at shortstop now that you're his teammate?
Yeah, I mean, I love the way Brandon plays. He's as steady and as sure-handed as I've ever seen. And he makes all of the incredible plays, too. His positioning is great. You know, his awareness on the field is great. And so it's been... I guess as expected, as advertised, but really fun to watch him work.
How would you assess your defense this year? Coming to a new team, new ballpark and all that, were there some adjustments to be made this year? And do you feel like as a fielder, is it sort of like hitting in some ways where you go through hot streaks and slumps too?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, overall, I think my defense has been pretty poor this year. I mean, I haven't been happy with it. And there's no excuse for that. But, yeah, I mean, I just try to kind of go out there every day and get better. At the beginning, you know, it was rough. I didn't play all that well defensively, and I think it's gotten better over the time and, you know, get a little bit more confident out there. And so I think just trying to build on that every day and you know, go out there and work on the home field and just get used to it a little more.
Did you put a little undue pressure on yourself being with a new team, whether it be defense or offense? Because, you know, you're with one team your whole career, and now you come over here. And even though it might have seemed like less pressure, you're not the face of the team, but you're still with a new team and you're still counted on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was undue. I mean, I think putting pressure on yourself is good in certain ways. I mean, it drives you to want to be successful and want to help the club. And so there have probably been times where I've felt a little bit more stress or pressure than I should have. But, again, you know, I kind of just take that in stride. And it's been nice this last, you know, couple weeks, but really the last month and a half, you know, being feeling like I'm fully a part of the club and just being able to come here and you know, be comfortable and fit in, I guess.
It had to be hard to be out with the injury because all that time being out, you're just sitting there and you can't help the team. There's nothing you can do about it, but I would think that would really kind of eat at you.
It did. I mean, it's been so long since I've been down that, I mean, every time that happens, it makes you greatly appreciate your job and how much you miss it when you're off the field. So, yeah, it hurt mentally a little bit not being out there. But I just tried to, you know, kind of be the best teammate that I could while I was on the bench and just be positive in here while I wasn't able to contribute on the field.
Last thing. Can you figure out what it will take for this team to get on a roll? Because it's just been sort of the 500 season all the way. There hasn't been a big slump, but there hasn't been a hot streak either. You talked about the offense, but are there a couple of things you see that maybe you could improve?
I mean, I think we just need to play with a little bit more urgency. Just really make everybody understand that, you know, this is the time that we need to really just kind of buckle down. And, you know, those situations maybe in the fourth or fifth inning where it doesn't seem like it's you know, that big of a situation, but, you know, we got runner on third base, less than two outs in a tie game, like those runs are important. You know, we have to figure out ways to score them, you know, get the big hits early in the game to kind of separate ourselves as the game goes on. And I think just going up there with more of an urgency, you know, from pitch number one, and just really just not giving anything away, you know, not giving pitches away, not giving, you know, ground balls away on defense. And I think if we kind of play that way and play with that urgency, then everything will take care of itself. I mean, I really do believe that we have the guys in here to win. This is a good baseball club. This is a team that knows how to win with a bunch of guys who have been around for a long time. And we need to kind of take that collective group effort out there on the field with us every night.
Is it hard to do that, though, to flip the switch and have that urgency when, you know, maybe it wasn't there before? And you've been on some good teams before. I mean, you got to the World Series with the Rays. So was there something there that just all of a sudden you were able to flip the switch as a team?
I think that every team has a turning point, positive or negative. And I don't think we've reached that yet. And there will definitely be a point in the next, you know, week or two where we look up and say, you know, we didn't play well enough and we don't have a chance anymore. Or, you know, the chance has become very real. You know, we've put ourselves in a situation where the postseason hopes are right in front of us, and that will flip the switch the other way. So I don't think we can stress that enough to where, you know, we have to go now. We have to realize that these next couple weeks are really going to be the separator in the course of, you know, we've played 120 games or whatever we've played. You know, none are going to be more important than these next couple weeks, going on the road, going into LA, just having to make up ground against, you know, the teams that are in front of us. You know, we have to do it now. There's no more waiting around.
Evan, thanks a lot for the time. Good luck.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That's Giants third baseman Evan Longoria. Now, he talked about the sense of urgency the Giants need to have right now. I also asked the same question to Giants manager Bruce Bochy.
I mean, we talked about that at the All-Star break. I mean, it's, you know, it's go time, sprint time. I mean, when you're, you know, behind three or four teams, I mean, you don't have that luxury of, you know, even splitting with a team or a series. I mean, it's, you know, we got to win games, and that's the only way we're going to make up ground with everybody is by, you know, coming out winning ball games. And we lost two tough ones, really tough ones, and we got to bounce back from that. And both clubs here, they're in the same boat, us in Pittsburgh, and, you know, that margin of error is narrow. It's getting more narrow, and it's important that we find a way to get on the run, on the roll here. And that's the only way it's going to happen. Now, we've been here before, later than this, but still, we've got, you know, more teams ahead of us this time. So, yeah, he's right. There should be that feeling of sense of urgency with everybody.
That's Giants manager Bruce Bochy. In the Giants clubhouse earlier on Thursday, I spoke with Austin Slater, who's been playing all over, first base, second base, outfield, in the lineup at first base on Thursday. Here's the conversation I had with Austin Slater. Austin, you're getting a good chance to play, and I know when you first came up here, there was a little playing time, then it seemed like there was a lull for a while. What did you learn from that experience where you didn't get the everyday at-bats to now where it seems like you're getting a little more consistent at-bats?
Yeah, it's just keeping the same routine and approaching every day the same way. Because when you're on the bench, you never know if you're going to be in there, you know, in the second or third, or, you know, not at all. So for me, it was learning that new routine and being able to react to different situations that came up in the game.
You've been able to really carry over the momentum to what you did in the minor leagues and AAA at Sacramento to here. How were you able to do that, and what are some of the differences? What are some of the bigger challenges to facing the major league hitters this year?
Well, you know, definitely the pitchers have better stuff up here. You know, they'll locate a little bit better, but, you know, for me, it's about, you know, maintaining my approach at the plate, being selective, looking to hit the pitch that, you know, I'm trying to hit instead of, you know, the pitch that he's trying to make me hit. So, you know, for me, it was about being selective and you know, staying within myself.
Yeah, it seems like you're really seeing the ball well up there. I mean, have there been times where, you know, you get locked in and you do feel like that? You know that it's a slider and it's going to be outside and you're not going to chase it. And then, you know, maybe if you're in a bad turn, you know, in a bad way, then you're just not seeing it as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to your mentality when you step into the box. You know, if you're pressing, you tend to chase more often. And, you know, if you're able to relax and, you know, actually trust your eyes, trust your hands, and you're actually able to stay within yourself and stay within the zone.
Defensively, you've been playing all over the place, you know, the outfield, playing over at first base, helping out over there. And I know you've played the infield, you've played all over before, but how much of a challenge is it on a daily basis when you don't know exactly where you're going to play and you got to get those reps at those different positions?
You know, I don't really see it as a challenge. I see it as an opportunity to get better at different things. You know, I think it's exciting. You know, it brings a little, you know, a little change of pace to every day. So for me, I see it as you know, a great opportunity to, you know, mix it up and, you know, have fun. So, you know, that's kind of my approach to playing different positions.
I always look at first base as being one of the more underrated positions. It seems like there's a lot of footwork there that people don't realize that you have to have. So have you worked a lot on that? Is that something that, you know, has come along as you get to play more and get more reps there?
Definitely. You know, Ron has been on me about, you know, the footwork stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, first glance you would never think about at first base, you know. The stance you take when you're holding runners on, you know, how to, you know,
stride out for picks and catches, the positions you need to be in on relays, cuts and relays. So a lot of those things come into play and, are new for me, but I'm trying to, get them ingrained and have them become second nature.
I would think that the decision-making is pretty hard, too, like deciding whether or not to charge a ball or go back on a ball or, is that ball going to go to the second baseman? Do I need to go over to first? Or those plays that involve the pitcher, always tricky.
Yeah, those are things I'm learning on the fly, and, hopefully I'm able to make the right decisions in the game.
It's more of an instinctual thing, I guess, as you go along, because, if you're playing a position for a while in a lot of games, I would think that it just comes second nature and you don't have to think about it much.
Yeah, definitely. I still think at this point I'm still, having to process, but, I'm trying to process these things before the play actually happens in my mind. But, in the outfield, where I played a lot, a lot of it, you just already know instinctually where you got to throw the ball, where you have to be in backup situations, things like that. So, it's a work in progress, but, I'm excited to keep doing it and getting better every day.
How cool is it to have the friendships that you have, guys that you've come up with in the system? You're playing now next to Steven Duggar a lot out in the outfield, and you guys were playing together in Sacramento. I mean, it must be a lot of fun to come up and see this thing to fruition at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys that you've come up with the whole way, you form friendships and bonds, and you love to see them have success. And, it's been a lot of fun to have, these young faces in the clubhouse, alongside all the veteran guys that we have. So, we're trying to bring energy and keep it exciting and fun. And, it's so far this year, I think it's been great. And we look forward to keep going.
I know you got hurt last year, but did the experience help you a lot, especially when you get into those clutch situations? And you've been delivering a lot in those, and especially when you get to two strikes. And I know Mike Kruko was actually talking about it on the broadcast the other day, that he talked to you, and, you're not afraid of the two-strike situation. You seem to be actually comfortable in that. Was it always like that, or do you think, getting your feet wet really helped you a lot in that area?
I think, getting the feet wet, but, maintaining the same approach from AAA, a lot of times people preach strikeouts are bad, and obviously, I don't want to strike out when I go up there, but at the same time, I don't want to give away an at-bat early in at-bat just because I'm not trying to strike out. If I don't see a pitch that I like, in the first two strikes, why should I try to put something in play that I don't like? So, that's kind of been my approach, refining my pitch selection, which, unfortunately, sometimes leads to more two-strike counts, but, a lot of times it leads to hitters counts and walks, so... it's trying to balance that line and, not being afraid of a negative outcome.
Are there a couple of things that you're working on or that you really want to improve on, before this season is over, or that you're thinking ahead to even for next year? Like, hey, I've done pretty well in this area, but maybe I could do something else in this area.
You try to stay away from major adjustments in the middle of the season, especially if something's working. So for me, it's maintaining right now. When the season's over, it's time to reflect and see what you can improve on. And then use spring training and the rest of the off season, to get ready and working on that. But for now, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So that's kind of my mentality, and I'll wait and see.
Okay, the last thing, there's a lot of shifts now in baseball, and as the defenses, come up with how to play you, they're going to figure it out, I guess, where to put somebody. But it seems to me that if you hit the ball hard, you're still going to do well. Is that sort of the mentality? And if you hit the gaps, you're always going to hit those gaps, and you're going to get extra bases, and you seem to do that really well.
The only thing you can really control is hitting the ball hard. Other than you can't really try to direct the ball too much. Your swing is your swing. The pitch is going to be in a certain location in the zone, and you try to direct it somewhere, you're probably going to hit it not as well. So, as a hitter, you just try to focus on the only thing you have control over, which is hitting the ball hard. You could look at the percentages. The slugging percentages are way higher on hard hit balls, batting averages, all of it. So, if you hit enough hard balls, you're going to have a high average. So that's really all you can control, and try to, try not to let those times where you hit it hard and hit it right at someone get in your head.
And do you feel like a lot of times these pitchers are kind of providing the power? They're throwing so hard these days. If you overswing, you may not need to do that because you can sort of hit a ball hard just based on how hard the fastball is coming in.
Yeah, definitely. It helps when they're throwing hard. You don't have to put as much behind it. But, the difference between 90 and 95 these days doesn't seem like that much as far as exit velo. I would have to look at the stats to really see how much power a pitcher provides. But, yeah, it's just about finding barrels.
All right, Austin. Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Good luck.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's Austin Slater of the Giants. I also had a chance to chat with the great broadcaster of the Giants, John Miller. Here was that conversation. John, you know, this team just seems like the entire year it's kind of been running in place. Can you put your finger on what they need to do? You know, Evan Longoria told me that they need a sense of urgency, and you hear that a lot this time of year in baseball. How do you pull that off?
Well, I think, number one, for the Giants, when the season started, their starting rotation was decimated, and the closer wasn't ready to close. So, and they opened against really some of the top teams in the division and in the league. I think that they were looking at the first couple of months when they were going to be without Bumgarner. At the time, they didn't even realize they were also going to be without Samardzija, and then they were going to be without Cueto either, their top three starters, in addition to Mark Melancon, the closer. So the idea was not to get buried, because unless you can find somebody to get some outs, they could have gotten buried in that period of time. So they did hold their own, for sure. And the blessing of the whole thing has been that they came up with maybe some pitching that they didn't, I think that they hoped that they had in reserve, but they didn't quite realize that they had it and it was going to be this good this early, namely Derek Rodriguez and Andy Suarez, but also a guy like Reyes Moronta out of the bullpen. So I mean, he's been a great find. So I think that after that, they really were counting on Cueto to get back, and but ultimately he needed the Tommy John surgery. So and probably he needed it earlier on. There was a hope that he wouldn't need it. So they said, okay, well, if you're willing, let's ride that. So and Samardzija has come back a couple of times and really was not ready either time. So I think looking back, Samardzija may wish that he had just waited and made sure that he was fully healthy. So so those kind of things. Then they lost Longoria, who was, you know, one of their top home run and RBI men. Then Brandon Belt. So there's never really been a time where they've been whole. And just I think there was one game where they all of a sudden had their lineup in there, and then Belt gets injured. So and before that, Belt had a an appendectomy, an emergency appendectomy. So if it's not one thing, it's another. So anyway, plenty of teams that make the postseason can point to the same kinds of things. Ultimately, what kind of depth you have and what kind of performances you get from the people who are still there will determine. So the Giants have just stayed right around 500. That's the question for these final, 45 games, I guess. Is that what they are? Or do they have a hot streak in them? They're opening a series with the Pirates here at AT&T Park. The Pirates were starting to sell as they got to the trading deadline. And then they got red hot. They were the hottest team in the league. What did they go, 15-3 or whatever it was? They were averaging over 6 runs a game. Suddenly, they're in the running. The Cardinals were selling. And I mean, kind of stunningly in one or two instances, you know, Tommy Pham was the guy that they gave up. And now they're actually back in it as well. So, and Bruce Bochy says that's what he keeps stressing to his guys. Look at those guys. You never know when a hot streak's going to begin. So certainly there's an urgency for it. But at the same time, that is something that's going to have to happen. If you're a good team, you have one of those hot streaks. And they've had a couple little hot streaks earlier on this year. But now's the time to get one if they're going to project themselves back into the race.
Well, I know as a broadcaster, it's always more enjoyable when your team is in the race like this as opposed to last year. But do you find a lot of joy also in some of these younger guys that have come up and are showing some excitement, you know, especially a guy like Hanson who interjects that energy and the speed, and Slater who's swinging the bat pretty well, and Duggar, the way he plays out in center field?
Yeah, all these young guys who've had an opportunity to play when it looked like there was no opportunity. Each one of them has shown things that the team needs and that they can provide. So, I mean, Hanson they got for nothing at all. He was just given up. So he's got tremendous speed, and he's also got some pop from the left side. He's been the Giants' best pinch hitter as well. Sometimes you think, well, how come he's not in the lineup? But at the same time, as Bruce Bochy has said, it's a nice security blanket to have that kind of a bat coming off the bench in just the right spot in a tight ball game. So so Hanson has been a real find. And I think the Giants are looking at Derek Rodriguez the same way. What do they give up to get Derek Rodriguez? Nothing, which is almost impossible to believe, because as good as he's been, to me, he's in the Rookie of the Year race. Now, maybe nobody's going to beat Juan Soto, the 19-year-old phenom of the Washington Nationals, but if he's as strong from here till the end of the year, I think Derek Rodriguez has got some real strong credentials as the Rookie of the Year.
All right, very last thing, John. It's a weekend where Barry Bonds will be celebrated. His number 25 will be retired. And you've had so many great calls on the radio as a Giants broadcaster and, of course, the World Series and everything. But how about the Bonds home runs and the moments that he had? Where do they rank? How do they stick with you as you think about his number getting retired this weekend?
Well, I think, you know, with Barry, obviously, he did things that nobody's ever done in the game. Without question, one of the greatest players in the history of the game. I grew up with Willie Mays, and he was my guy. And I don't know that you could say that Barry Bonds was better than Willie Mays, but Barry did things that Willie Mays didn't do either. So the only thing you could fault Barry for as a player, and not that it even was his fault, but when you're talking about all-around greatness and the five tools, didn't have a very strong arm, and that's about it. And Willie Mays had a great arm when he first came up. So that might be the one spot where Willie's got Barry. But I think that for me, there were so many great moments, so many home runs, and we thrilled to him. He had a hot streak of the year. He hit 73 home runs. He rode hot streaks for 10 weeks at a time. I've seen guys who get red hot for a week, sometimes 2 weeks, which is always astonishing to watch. He would be that hot and in that kind of a groove for 2.5 months at a time. I've never seen anything even approaching that from any player ever before in my time in the game. So Barry Bonds, certainly incredible, but my great memories for him as a player were the impact moments he had in a game just because he was Barry Bonds. And for instance, a classic example, he had the flu. He had a fever. I don't know, 102, 103 fever. He was sleeping in the clubhouse where they played Colorado at AT&T Park. And, you know, he had double vision. You know, he was feverish. He was almost delirious, you know. And they went to extra innings, and Felipe Alou was the manager, and he said, go to get Barry and tell him to put his uniform on and come to the dugout ready to play. So Barry came in a couple minutes later, and Felipe says, I want to use you as a pinch hitter to start the last of this inning. And Barry said, well, Skipper, you know, I'm all screwed up. I can't even see straight. I have blurred vision. And he said, well, it won't matter. He's going to walk you intentionally. Clint Hurdle is going to walk you intentionally to start the inning. And Barry says, well, if you think so, okay. And then he goes against a bat and puts a helmet on. He says, but if he throws inside, it may kill me because I won't be able to get out of the way. He says, well, trust me, he won't throw within 7 or 8 feet of inside on you. And sure enough, Clint Hurdle did walk him. I mean, Felipe knew his opposing manager well. They put in a pinch runner. The next guy bunted him over to second, and then somebody got a base hit, and the pinch runner scored. Barry was, I think, already back in asleep back in the clubhouse by that time as the place was going nuts. And maybe the next day, looking back on it, he might not have even have had a memory of it because he was so sick. But what kind of players get walked with nobody on base in a tie game to start an inning? Nobody. We saw him get walked in the World Series intentionally with runners at first and second, Mike Socha. Mike Socha has never done that before or since in his career as a manager, but he did it with Barry Bonds. And of course, the famous incident where Buck Showalter walked in intentionally with the bases loaded and a two-run lead in the bottom of the ninth inning, putting the possible tying run at third and the possible winning run in scoring position at second. Nobody does that. And nobody literally had done it in more than 50 years in baseball history since Mel Ott had done it back in the 40s against a guy named Bill Nicholson. But even then, he walked him with the bases loaded in the ninth inning and he had a 5 or 6 run lead. Nicholson had hit 4 home runs in a doubleheader already. He says, well, the heck with it. We have nobody apparently who can get him out. Let's just walk him intentionally. So it was a much different, more intense situation when he walked Barry Bonds. So the effect he had in the games, just because of who he was and because of what he might do, influenced games and often disrupted games and turned games around.
Yeah, well, it's definitely well-deserved that he gets his number retired. John, thanks for the time here. Enjoy this series against the Pirates and being home, because I know you got a long road trip after that. Really appreciate it.
All right, all the best. Thank you.
That's Giants broadcaster John Miller. Want to thank him, Evan Longoria, and Austin Slater for joining us here on Inside China Basin. We'll be back again next week with Ray Woodson as the Giants go on the road to play the Dodgers, the Reds, and the Mets. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.